Movie film. Is it a movie? Film. 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 Film.
Film. It's a podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Yeah.
I'm Nate, and Luke, I'm your father.
I'm Terrell, and I don't truly know what's going to happen when the lights go out, but I do know once the dying starts, this little psycho fucking family of yours is going to rip itself apart. Oh. Yours.
What's
is
yours?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mine's is the pitch. I think it's Pitch Black. Pitch Black. Oh. Yeah. I was going to say the Chronicles of Riddick, but I know that's the sequel. But it's Riddick.
Yeah, we both picked movies about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, of course, the most famous movie all about aliens.
The most famous.
They're all aliens in Star Wars.
They're all aliens, yeah. They're not human.
Because we're doing an alien movie called
Nope.
Love it.
Love it.
Let's just jump in. Let's hear that trailer.
What if I told you that today you'll leave here different?
Pops. Pops!
I'm talking to you.
Bro, what'd you see?
Something above the clouds.
That's big.
How big?
Big.
You think whatever killed Pops is out there?
Right here. You are gonna witness an absolute spectacle.
So what happens next?
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
This would be an opportunity. I'm talking rich and famous for life.
There's plenty of videos for flying shit online.
Ain't nobody gonna get what we gonna get.
What we gonna get?
The money shot.
What's up?
Undeniable proof of aliens on camera. The Oprah shot.
You guys gonna tell me what's going on?
Hell no.
Because I'm out here, and you're the only person in the world that can get it on film.
That cloud, they moved an inch.
It's aliens. They're just waiting for the perfect time to shove metal probes up our asses.
I'll be rooting for you.
I think we pissed them off.
Yeah, they repainted your house. They're gonna come back. You ready? We got some work to do.
Not it.
Nope.
I'll get them out. And I'll get the shot.
Y'all tell me, what did you see in that cloud?
Well, it's not what you think.
No!
They took him. They took him all.
I've got to get out of this house.
I'm trying to save you.
My brother is out there.
I don't think they take you. If you don't look at it.
Help me!
But don't look.
This dream you're chasing. Where you end up at the top of the mountain. It's the one you never wake up from.
You'll be getting a call from my supervisor asking how my service was.
5 stars, Angel, 5 stars.
Nope is a 2022 American neo-western science fiction horror directed, written, and co-produced by Jordan Peele under his Monkey Paw Productions banner. Well, let's just start with it, because I love the Monkey Paw Productions studio animation.
Oh, the hand and the
It's tea? Like that stop motion on the train, and
mm-hmm.
it's got all the spooky things.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how the movie, at least with the audio, starts like during that part with the studio animations, because you hear the Gordy
sitcom in the background.
Sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Really jarring, and like what's happening? Is this the right movie? Did I go into the wrong theater?
No, yeah, it's the right thing.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I skipped right past Crew Love. We got to give him some love.
Okay.
Of course, Jordan Peele also wrote, directed, and produced Us,
mm-hmm.
which we did. Some other people that worked on other features that we covered on the podcast. A lot of Us alum, composer Michael Abels, editor Nicholas Mansour. Sayuchai Bukaram did makeup for Us and Black Panther. Production designer for Us, Ruth DeJong. Set decorator Jim Hewitt, but also some people worked on Her. Gene Sardena, set decorator.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
Van Hoytema, the director of photography.
Mm-hmm.
He's got great eyes. He did Her as well as this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and finally, Johnny Byrne did sound design for this and The Lobster.
And I like a little lobster tie-in.
Yeah, so some classic episodes, if you haven't listened to those, check them out.
Yeah.
And I guess the real beginning of this is that quote, "I will cast abominable filth at you, I will make you a spectacle."
Yeah.
Is that a real Bible quote, or is it like a Pulp Fiction
thing? It sounds like an Old Testament.
Yeah, I forgot to look it up in my Bible.
True, me
I try,
too.
Folks, I try to do my research.
Yeah.
But sometimes, oh Lord, sometimes it's just too much.
It sounds very, very mean, and I will smite you if you cross me or whatever, you know.
That's our old testy God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like at the beginning of what was that, Mad God? It's the same kind of quote, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same kind of quote. It's vengeful, and it's mean, and it's nasty. But also, it kind of informs you what you're about to see. And I think that, you know, the creature in the movie does spew filth at us, and it is a spectacle.
Yes.
I think all those things are true.
Yes, it is apt. And it is the second movie Jordan did that had a quote at the beginning.
Because
us had that. I guess it wasn't a quote, but like that intro text about the tunnel system.
Mm-hmm.
That was so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing visually we get from Gordy's home is, I think, just the one shot, I guess, from Jupe's perspective.
Yeah.
And it's just the Gordy, the monkey, with blood all over his face, and there's that shoe standing up.
Actually, that's not till later.
You don't see that.
You don't see anything. You just hear it, and then you hear the pop.
You don't see the shoe?
You see the bloody monkey. Yeah. You see the monkey in the birthday hat walking around, and then he looks right at the camera, which mm-hmm. is us
right
in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's our POV.
Yeah, and we've got those wide Jordan Peele eyes
mm-hmm.
fixated on the screen.
Yeah, one eye falls down as you're watching.
But then we get into our real story here.
Yeah.
Going to meet our real characters.
Our real characters. Which is the father and son duo.
Yes.
Of OJ Sr. and OJ Jr.
Well, I think it's just Otis and Otis Jr. So then Otis Jr. is OJ.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Sr. is OJ.
It's okay, you're right.
Otis Haywood's got his ranch. His mm-hmm. historic horse ranch for film and television horses.
Mm-hmm.
We meet them briefly, and then
we know that they are having money problems.
Yes,
because they are selling horses,
mm-hmm.
but they the father has hopes that this next project will be a success, and then they won't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, there's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Mysterious one.
Yeah, while they're waiting on the sister, Emerald, things start to fall from the sky.
Yes.
Just random things just start to fall. And OJ, Otis Jr., turned his back. But then he turns around to go look at his father, and his, you know, he's just got his head down. Mm. And he's been struck by something. Mm. It gets a little bloody as he's trying to drive his father to the hospital. We see that he has an eye injury.
And to stay conscious, he's listing off the horses on his ranch. That's like his game. And he's able to get all those names. And I like the shot when they get to the hospital, and then you see in the x-ray, and then once it's just on a table.
Yeah.
And it was a nickel.
Yeah, a nickel hit him in the eye.
We also get that close-up shot of like a key inside the horse's
but
booty. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a key. Never mind. Not gonna make that joke. I'm above that joke. I say nay to that joke.
Nay. Also, in that scene, we get two sound cues, which let you know that something weird is happening. You hear these screams, but it almost sounds like whistling, like the sky's whistling, like in a Western movie, you know what I mean? Like when that wind blows and it kind of sounds like that, and then you hear a whoosh.
Yeah.
And it draws your eyes to the sky, but you don't really see anything, except for the stuff that's falling out the sky.
Yeah, I really like the sound in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool stuff is done in that department. I also wanted to just note that OJ uses a flip phone.
He does.
I mean, that's just telling of the character. He's a bit of a Luddite.
Yeah, he doesn't need an app phone. He's not on his phone.
Let's just say he'd be more prone to riding a horse than driving a moped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the kind of guy he is.
Nope title.
Yes, we get that title.
Over what we now know to be the beast mouth, right?
Yes, that's one of those second viewing treats you get. The opening credits, we're looking right at it.
Yeah, it's like you're being sucked in real slowly. And then the blackness, that is the square, turns into the jockey on the horse.
Yes, the first ever filmed footage.
Mm-hmm. No, I would say this is probably like a month later or so. Like, it's not too far into the future. OJ is on a movie set.
Yes.
With Lucky the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And OJ doesn't have the public speaking gene. He's not good at it.
No, Emerald's running late, so he's left stumbling.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on. If you've ever been on a movie set, there are a lot of moving pieces and people, and everyone's important, and they got to be on their time. And so he's kind of being, like, run over. But then his sister comes, Emerald, played by Keke Palmer, and she has all the, like,
she brought the charisma with
her. She brought the charisma with her.
OJ left it at home, but she grabbed it.
And she really sells it and herself to the people. But even with all that, something still goes wrong. They kind of rush trying to have the act. Oh, the actress, by the way, Bonnie Clayton, has the funniest reaction to OJ's name being OJ, which is really funny. Made me laugh real hard when I saw it in the theater. So yeah, they try and set it up, but they put this like spherical metallic reflective ball in front of the horse, and it freaks out.
Yeah, it sees itself and it kicks the town, right?
It just gets startled. I don't think anyone gets hurt.
And threatens to kick the talent.
Yeah. It's like, I will buck.
So, yeah, they're fired, and they bring in the green screen horse.
Yeah, it's going to be mechanical.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
on this drive home, you see a couple of things that become notable later.
Mm-hmm.
Wacky inflatable car guys.
I didn't know what to call them. I'm glad you said it, because that's right. It is wacky inflatable car guy.
I think it was like a Family Guy thing.
Yeah.
They identified a name for those.
Mm-hmm.
You see some of those fake horses with those flags.
Yeah, with the flags on them.
And as well as... well, then you just get to the outside of Jupiter's Claim. You get to see that, that
mm-hmm.
park.
Mm-hmm.
Because OJ's, you know, they got fired, so they got to sell some horses.
They got to sell some more horses.
So they got to make money.
So we learned that so far OJ has sold 10 horses.
Yes.
It sounds like a lot. And now he's going to sell Lucky, which is his second favorite or second best horse. We also see that there's a little tension between Emerald and OJ.
Yes.
And I guess Emerald is the type to, like, not stick around.
No,
and
she
that
wants them to sell the ranch, to get some money.
Yeah.
But OJ wants to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But OJ's hoping to be able to buy back the horses. So we go through Jupiter's Claim. We see it's this Western theme park. We're introduced to this well that takes photographs at the bottom because Kiki, Emerald, I mean, photo bombs.
Yeah, she just looks over thinking it's a well, but it takes her photo.
Right.
She's like, oops, sorry.
Then we go into Jupe's back office,
mm-hmm.
Played wonderfully by Stephen Yeun.
Yes.
We're just collecting Stephen Yeun movies on this podcast.
We are. I think he might be the most now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's our guy.
I feel like we got a lot of Keanu as well.
True.
They should work together.
Yeah.
So this is the child actor from Gordy's home. This is where it connects.
Uh-huh.
Because during their meeting that Emerald's really distracting OJ from the business.
Yeah,
because
she's kind of starstruck and like, wow, you're the Asian kid from that kid Western show.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you were in Gordy. And so, you know, Jupe is excited to talk about it. He loves talking about his trauma.
Yes. Well, indirectly though. So he shows them this back secret room of memorabilia that apparently a German couple paid him to sleep in one time.
50,000.
Yeah.
I'd let him sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
good night.
Good night.
99. So it's got all this memorabilia from Gordy's home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sits down and he tells them the story. But it's not really the story of this tragic event of how he experienced it. It's rather this fabricated version of the SNL Monkey Boy skit.
Yeah.
It's just all about Chris fucking Kattan kills it. He crushes.
Which is funny because it's believable. You kind of have a reference in your head, even though it's not the thing. Like, Chris Kattan played, what was the character, you know?
Monkey Boy?
Yeah, he played Monkey Boy. Yeah. And so you can be like, oh, they're drawn from that, which is funny. But yeah, he has kind of this smile on his face when he's talking about it. But then as he's talking about Chris Kattan is like killing it on stage, it cuts and then it's Gordy killing on stage.
Then we get,
I was like, oh, that was a really nice cut.
I think it kind of speaks to like processing tragedy through
media,
especially comedy, even like how a lot of people think of the Trump presidency related to Alec Baldwin's shitty impression, also on SNL. So Jupe makes a big offer to buy the whole ranch, which M is pretty excited about, but OJ, not so much.
Not so much. There's a moment of silence like, after that conversation of Jupe, like him telling her that Jupe wants to buy the ranch, and then the thing that brings them together is Daddy's liquor cabinet.
Yes.
And weed.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And some old-fashioned reminiscing. We get a story about the horse they were training for Scorpion King.
Yeah, Jean Jacket.
Yes.
Who was originally supposed to be Emerald's horse that she got to train once she turned 9, but suddenly they needed it for the Scorpion King.
Yes.
Which is funny. The Scorpion King. Anyway, they end up not even using horses in that movie. Right. They used camels, so it was for nothing.
We were talking about that, and there's just a line I love where Emerald's like, yeah, so I was just talking to my therapist, and OJ says, therapist? And she says, yeah, I got a therapist I fuck on occasion. And she was telling me. So now we start getting these title cards that relate to the names of primarily the horses. We start with Ghost. Because some happenings are occurring.
Yeah.
There's some electrical malfunctions.
And for some reason, Ghost is in the arena.
Yes.
By himself. How he get there? I don't know, but he's there. So OJ has to go wrangle him in. But he can see something in the distance.
Yeah, he's not chill.
He can see lights in the distance, and he can hear a voice in the distance. And then he can hear screams.
Yeah.
In the sky.
Like, the whistling thing, but it's more clearly screaming.
Yeah. And then the power goes out for a second. I think OJ sees it. He sees it right then. Yeah, he sees
UFO.
Yeah, it's really quick. Flying it goes from cloud to cloud. And he goes back and he acts that line from the trailer of, do you know what a bad miracle is? Mm. And, you know, pretty much explains that he saw something. I love that his sister is just all about it.
Yeah.
That she's just like in. Honest, just like,
yeah,
no, we
no
gotta
doubt between them. Yeah,
no doubt. She's like, no, you're crazy. Like, she's like, okay, you want to capture it? Let's go get some equipment.
Yeah, so they go to Fry's Electronics, which has this like flying saucer crashed into it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, a real place.
Yes.
Shut down though.
Mm-hmm. Like a Radio Shack.
But it's in operation in this picture. So they want to get that picture because it's the family business. They want to get the money shot.
Yeah.
The Oprah shot.
The Oprah shot.
Proof that the UFO exists.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we meet Angel.
Mm-hmm.
He works at Fry Electronics and he's selling them on the installation of the cameras.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much he has to install it, but they don't want to because they don't want people in their business,
right,
or trying to sneak in up under them. But Angel's pretty cool. He turns out to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
He quickly catches on that they're trying to get a UFO because he sets up the camera, but they're all pointing down, and
yeah,
OJ keeps pointing up,
higher.
Like higher, higher. And he actually turns out to be a UFO nut himself, talking about how they changed it from UFO to... what was it? UFPA?
Yeah, something. UAP?
Yeah.
Something weird.
Yeah, they changed it so that people wouldn't be able to find it.
Apparently, NOPE is also an acronym for Not of Planet Earth.
Yeah. I remember that came out, like, before the movie.
Mm.
And then I saw recently Kiki and Jordan Peele were doing an interview, I think, with IMDb. And she asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, I already thought of that. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. And I couldn't tell whether he was just, like,
right,
taking credit for it or he was being for real. Like, yeah, I thought of that.
Mm. Also, just a note on Angel. I read that Peele originally wrote that character as a little, like, nerdier. Mm-hmm. But then Brendan Perea like showed up to set, and he like added his own spin on it, and the whole thing about him recently getting dumped by this girl actress? Who just got cast on the CW. Yeah. Apparently that was his touch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that he like just got in a breakup. And like,
he's like, yeah, if you see her, then...
But that kind of speaks a little bit. Like, it's funny that it was maybe improvised, because it kind of ties into the themes of the movie about how he's kind of getting eclipsed by this talent now, who's now part of this big media production. Are we on to Clover?
I would say that Jeep makes a visit, but Emerald Fast thinking keeps him at a bay.
Yes.
They use this decoy horse, and say they're using it for training. Anyway, Jupe invites them to come see his new live show. Angel is intrigued and offers to help them surveil, but they're quick to get him to leave and say that they will leave him a 5-star rating. Clover title card.
So there's going to be more happenings. I guess it's not a happening. A happening is when it's the wind. And I guess the wind is involved, but it's more the clouds.
We're
not there yet, though. More electrical interference on those cameras. Also, grasshopper or praying mantis is covering the camera.
Yeah. So OJ's outside, and the generator in the shed turns on. This was a really thrilling sequence, like watching it with people and being like, oh my god, is this it? And being like, no, it's way too early for this to be it. And then being like, no, wait,
but you see those little guys.
Yeah, this could be it. Like, oh my god, I'm looking at them. So yeah, he goes to the shed to turn off the lights, and then he's walking away. They turn back on. He turns around, and he can see it, and then it rises up, and it looks like one of those grays, you know, gray head, big eyes, kind of like oval shape.
Yeah, what you picture when you picture aliens.
Yeah, mostly. And then a second one comes out. And he just goes.
He gets punched.
He gets no. That's the third one.
Oh, okay.
Second one, he's just like, nope. And then he,
that's the title.
It's the first nope. And he walks away. He takes out his camera, and he's gonna record. But then a third one pops out behind him, and then he punches the alien, and it turns out to be Jupe's kids.
Yes, getting payback for M stealing the model horse.
So, grasshopper.
Yeah, that's in the way of getting that shot.
It's so annoying. That was real frustrating.
Yeah, but it's cool how they, like, the trap kind of worked against the horse, and then the flag's just dangling from the ship.
Yeah, he can see it just hanging from the cloud, and Emerald's just like, it's in the cloud. Run.
Yes. Now... I mean,
we get a better look.
Yeah. And then the next day, I don't know if you had anything else for that scene.
Just that the grasshopper, like, left when Jean Jacket left, when the alien left. I was just like, oh, how convenient that the grasshopper left now that they don't need the camera anymore. Yeah.
So the next day, Angel notices the one cloud that hasn't moved in the sky for weeks. So they decide, they figure it out. That's where the UFO hides.
Yeah. And the cloud that OJ's probably been looking at for the past 6 months.
Yep.
And there's a moment earlier where we do see him look at the cloud a little longer than like a glance, you know, where he's kind of like, but then it comes back and it's like, oh yeah, I have noticed that cloud.
Yeah. So now OJ's going to check out Jupe's show. Was this the first time he's putting on this show? Or had he been doing it?
I think that it's the first time he's put it on for an audience. And I think that he's been feeding it the horses. So he's been, like, practicing with it. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
this
I'd like
is the
to
first
have seen,
time.
Like one of the rehearsals.
Well, that was what was going on when OJ was outside and he heard
right,
the stuff.
I know, but from like his perspective.
Okay.
Because he really, well, we'll get to it. Well, we're pretty much here. He really thinks he has control over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we get the next title card, Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter starts with the flashback. We get more in depth on the Gordy's home tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves this birthday party episode. And they're opening his gifts. Mm-hmm. And there's balloons. And they hit the lights and pop. And that startles one of the chimpanzee actors playing Gordy.
Yeah.
It's funny to call a chimpanzee an actor, but okay.
Okay. Sends him into a rage.
Yes.
And then we hear it yell, and then it cuts, gets real quiet. The camera slides out, and I will note that the camera equipment looks like the Aliens merchandise that Jupe sells.
Yeah.
Looks just like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. So we have Baby Jupe hiding under the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the actor that plays the father, like, trying to get out.
Which is like, because the actor playing the father was safe wherever he was in the back.
Yeah.
But some reason he comes out.
Well, I think he's trying to help Jupe escape.
I don't know what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's trying to do, but he got himself killed. Definitely got himself beat up.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I really focused on. And, like, all the Gordy scenes are the people stuck in the audience.
Yeah.
And
that applause sign going on.
Yeah. And just the people just, like hunched over, like, too scared to move. And
Gordy approaches.
Yeah, I heard that Gordy signs where his family, as if, like, he reached out and then doesn't really, like, know what happened, and he goes to Gordy and tries to fist pump him. I think the only reason he doesn't try to kill Jupe is because there's a veil blocking their eyes.
Oh, he's not looking directly.
Looking directly at him.
You're good.
Yeah, because there's just like this big emphasis on wild animals and eye contact,
yes,
and predator.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm just like, that's the only reason why he wasn't mangled. But Jupe thinks it's because he has a special ability.
Yeah, it gives him this confidence that carries through his life, clearly. Also, when Jupe was showing Emerald and OJ, like, the memorabilia, there is one still of the first exploding fist bump in television.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you get a different take on that, because instead of eating his face, Gordy goes for the fist bump with Jupe.
Mm-hmm.
But right before their knuckles touch, they explode.
Yeah, he gets shot in the head.
Gordy is shot in the head right in front of Jupe.
Mm-hmm.
Blood splatters on the child's face. Doing that Jordan Peele face.
Yeah.
Of sheer terror.
Mm-hmm. Lucky title.
Yes.
Yeah.
So OJ's gone to the show to try to retrieve Lucky.
Mm-hmm. But Jupe is going to put on a spectacle for the people. Jupe tells the audience about the alien, that he thinks they are, he calls them the viewers, and think they are being surveilled by little gray people. So Jupe has no idea or hasn't come to the conclusion that it's not a ship.
Right.
But OJ already has come to the conclusion that it's probably not a ship.
Right. Jupe has invited a special guest to his show. It's the actress that played Either the sister or the mother, I couldn't tell.
The sister.
Sister.
The young girl that actually brought the balloons. It's her.
Who now has a veil over her face.
Mm-hmm. She survived a monkey attack. The monkey ripped her face apart.
Well, will she survive a jean jacket attack?
You can't get lucky twice. I think that's the lesson here.
So he's going to invite his children to sing a little song.
Mm-hmm.
But Jean Jacket's running ahead of schedule.
Yeah, Jean Jacket's a little pissed. Very upset that it was fed a plastic horse that it couldn't digest. So it's very hungry. It has a big appetite. And Juba's just like, oh, it's ready. It's showing out for us. Yeah. This is going to be great. And
should note, by the way, on Jupe's costuming, it's like the Western suit with rhinestones on the back that look like the UFO.
Yeah. Oh, the suits fly.
Yeah.
The red suits fly. This time there's no veil between his eyes and the predator's eyes, and he looks right at it as it approaches.
Yep.
And behind him, you can see the dust start to swirl. You can also see bodies start to move around him.
You see the veil from the actress's face lift, and you see how her face was damaged from the Gordy incident.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they used that in the teaser for the movie, and I thought that would be like
something
a different thing.
Yeah,
it's unexpected.
I just thought it would be that thing that I feel like horror movies like to do with people that look a little different or disfigured some way. I feel like in a lot of horror movies there are it'll be a person that just looks odd. But no, she looks odd, but she also has like a backstory and a reason why she looks like that.
Yes.
So
anyway, they're all gonna die.
This is terrifying. This is actually kind of scary. So we cut and we see what is going on inside. We see the people
really
fly up and
sequence.
Enter, and we see them being like sucked up.
Here's the thing: we're kind of just focusing on this one person.
Yeah.
I'm guessing someone that was in the audience. It wasn't even anyone we really saw before.
Yeah.
But it's all done through, like, you just assume that there's more than what you're seeing.
Yeah.
All the sounds of the screaming and the echoes that sound so vast.
Yeah.
And yet, it's this very narrow, like, digestive tract, I guess. That
yeah.
Like, almost like the aluminum, like, foamy
mm-hmm.
stuff you put on the windshield to stop your car from getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, vents or something. And it eventually crushes her and everyone.
Yeah. It actually...
the bones cracking.
It actually, I would say, keeps them alive for a long time.
Yeah, it just plays with them.
Because the abduction happens during the day, and we can still hear the screams at night when it's circling around Emerald's and OJ's ranch.
Yes.
And then you can hear like the snap. There's like it squeezes just a little tighter, and then all the screaming stops.
Mm-hmm. Is this where it hovers over their house?
Yeah, it hovers over their house as
so
it's raining.
It's about to bleed.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's about to bleed everywhere. So yeah, there's this cool effect of like just the rain not hitting the house anymore, just like this perfect circle going on.
It's being covered.
Mm-hmm. And like they can hear the screams, Emerald and Angel, and they start freaking out. Angel grabs a knife and gets under the table.
Yeah, right.
Like, what do you do? Honestly, what do you do? You just want to feel,
I
guess,
all you can do.
Some type of safety. But, yeah, they can't do anything, and then blood starts to run down the windows. That's the filth being spewed, and it is a spectacle.
Yeah.
It is astonishing to watch. And OJ has the best seat because he's in his car approaching when his car shuts off, and he can see it in the distance, like barely. We kind of see it in his window. We see the lightning, gives us a better view, and then it moves over to him, and then he opens his door and looks out and goes, "Nope."
Yeah, and this is by this point he realized that it's like an animal you have to train. You can't look it in its eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So they use those tactics to get Angel and M out of the house.
Yeah.
Into Angel's car.
Yeah. And away.
To safety.
To safety, where they go to Angel's house, and I feel like they get high and play video games.
Yeah, right. They're just playing virtual reality.
Yeah.
While OJ's just like staring into space.
Yeah.
Then they call the guy who was the cinematographer on the commercial they got fired from,
mm-hmm.
Antlers Holst.
Yeah.
Who's got this amazing deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the cinematographer who's like watching or editing footage of animals being killed by other animals.
Yeah.
It seems. Yeah. And they want his talents for capturing, and by capturing, I mean filming. Jean Jacket.
Yeah.
But he initially declines.
Yeah. I like the, because the scene happens a little earlier, but Emerald's trying to sell him on it, and she's like, "It's reality." And then OJ goes, "No, no, no, it's documentary." And then he's like, "Oh, documentary, that's better. Okay."
But now he's going to agree.
Yeah.
So he comes to the ranch with the hand cranked camera.
Yeah, I think after everyone was taken away by Jupe,
he saw it on by the news.
Everyone yeah. saw it on the news and like, what is happening out there? And he remembers that call he got.
Yeah. There's that high five when they see that he brought the camera.
Mm.
That's just a great sibling moment.
Yeah, great sibling moment because he brought a hand crank.
Yeah.
IMAX camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times do they slap hands? Like
one, two, three, four. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, the movie just becomes a full-on just action.
Yeah.
Action blockbuster.
It moves into action.
Yeah.
Even the sequence when OJ's being chased, the music isn't scary. It's heroic.
Yeah. I'd say the blood spewing is the last like horror moment.
Yeah.
In this evolving, much like Jean Jacket, it evolves. It mm-hmm. gets flashier at parts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're planning how to do this. They're using Monopoly pieces on a map. It's real legit.
Mm, it's real legit. Then we get the Jean Jacket title card.
Yes. They're going to use the wacky inflatable arms guys.
Mm-hmm. To track it.
Yes.
So they can see where it is because Jean Jacket has, I don't know, it disturbs the electronic wavelengths mm-hmm. and things cut off. So if the wacky guys die, if they just fall flat, they know that that's where he is.
Yeah. You got a moody recitation of the Flying Purple People Eater lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where that's from?
It's that song. The one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
Oh, it's a song.
Eater, one-eyed, one-horned. It's like from the 70s.
He's so menacing when he says
yeah. it. Oh, no. It's like a fun song.
It's a fun song. He made it scary.
Maybe it's from the 90s. Maybe it's They Might Be Giants. I don't know who sings it. My mom's probably going to email me being like, this is what it's from.
So the plan is going greatly. They're playing music very loud. They're going to draw it out.
It would work, but
TMZ? TMZ.
First, you don't know who it is. It's like this menacing guy on a motorcycle with like a helmet that's just reflective
with one hole in it.
Yeah. So you think it could be like a government agent or something?
Yeah, they do identify him as a man in black. Yeah. And I'm just like, wait, are they serious? Is it really TMZ or is it just like the placeholder for what it actually is? But no, it's a TMZ yeah. guy.
So he's not going to back down. He's going to just go.
No, he's real annoying.
And then there's that question of what happens when one force going one way enters an electrical field shut down really fast. I forget how he says it. So then you just see the motorcycle speeding into the field of no electricity, and then it just flies
off and breaks his arm, probably his leg as well. OJ goes out there and tries to save him, but it's too late to save him.
He's like, get the camera.
Get the camera, you get the shot. And Jean Jacket just swoops him up, eats him, and we hear the screaming. He's screaming, oh God, oh my goodness, what's happening? Oh God, oh no. And then he's killed.
Yeah. And now perhaps the most frustrating part, plot-wise, just of the story.
Oh, the recording?
Like, when characters in horror movies specifically make decisions that
are
frustrating, it's not great.
Because they get the shot, right? It's a beautiful success. Shot. It is, from a movie standpoint, it's really cool. It almost looks like OJ and Jean Jacket are working together the way that, like, side swoop happens, you know? And it's good enough, but... It's the golden hour, right? Yeah. It's happening, and the light is just perfect, and he can't resist but to try and get a better shot. So he takes his equipment up to the top of the mountain.
Why couldn't they just, like, keep that film real safe while he goes out to do that?
Yeah, I don't get it. I also don't get why his character wanted to die. It seems like he had a death wish.
Because he looked up. Like, did he not know?
I'm pretty sure they told him that would happen.
Right.
But he did it anyway.
Frustrating.
And it just seems like that's what he wanted. He said, like, we don't deserve the impossible. That was the last thing he said before he died. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, so he leaves Angel alone. Angel's got his own defense strategy, which is to wrap himself up in a tarp and barbed wire.
Yeah, he got really lucky that when the wind blew, the tarp blew onto
him,
and that he could use it with the barbed wire. Because actually, I thought this was how Jean Jacket was going to die. I thought he was going to suck him up and then get the barbed wire in there and just get all, like, cut up.
Is this... He does, though. Is that why he changes form?
I don't think so. I don't think he gets any barbed wire in him. He tries to, you know, vor Angel, but he stops once he realizes nothing is coming up, and then Angel just drops.
But he does change his form at this point.
Yes.
To, like, this jellyfish almost, or, like, balloon.
I would say it's closer to, like, it looks like a jellyfish. It also looks like an angel.
Like a biblical depiction.
Yeah, like angels. A biblical depiction of an angel. Yeah.
Which are terrifying, by the way.
Terrifying. This one was actually beautiful. But also, it demands that you don't look at it.
Yeah.
I know that's the thing about angels. It's just like, you're just like, whoa, I can't look at that. And Emerald and OJ are kind of like split. And Jean Jacket is approaching Emerald with doing this new thing, which is kind of like rattling, I would say. Yeah. It's like rattling, like, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
And OJ is like, no, I'm over here.
OJ looks at it.
Yeah. And then the mouth opens up on the other side, and Emerald has to make the choice to ride away on the motorcycle.
Yeah, she gets the TMZ guy's motorcycle and waits for it to get closer to OJ, far enough for her that she can turn it on because it's electric. And then once she can, she rides away to Jupiter's claim.
Where she does an Akira slide.
Yes, she does.
She does that slide. It's a pretty cool slide. It's a pretty iconic slide.
So she untethers the helium balloon of little Jupiter in a little cowboy hat doing finger guns.
Yeah.
And Jean Jacket's going to try to eat it.
Yeah. Jean Jacket, who I think by the end of the movie has a contract with OJ. They use that word of, like, Jupe didn't have a contract with that wild animal. Like, he really didn't understand what it was. He was just trying to use it. But I think OJ has a contract with it, because at the end, OJ does look directly at it.
It does, yeah.
And, I mean, we think it's going to eat him, but Emerald, yeah, she releases the big boy balloon. It tries to eat it because it thinks it's looking at it. And as it's trying to, like, suck it in, it pops.
And she gets that shot because she takes all these quarters on the ground.
Yeah.
In the well.
Oh, yeah, the tension building of her trying to get the shot. Cranking it. And finally getting it right before it goes poop.
Yep. And then you see that Angel's okay. He sees the pop.
Yeah.
And then you see that OJ survived.
Yeah. He
appears in this very heroic shot.
Yeah.
The mist resembling that footage from the beginning.
Yeah. The jockey on the horse.
By the way, is OJ on a white Bronco?
No.
His horse is white, right?
No, Lucky's black.
Is he riding Lucky?
Yeah. Okay. Ghost is the white one.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. They do the eye thing.
Right.
They have like this sibling thing that they do, which either means I see you or I got you or both. I see you and I got you.
The shot, the second shot, I guess, that we get of the insides of Jean Jacket when it's trying to digest the balloon, I just think are so funny because you see, like, the face on the balloon getting squished.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's Nope.
That's Nope.
Yep.
I wonder if the carcass falls down to the earth or if it just floats.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Really scary.
Really scary.
Like, are there more out there?
That's what I would like to know. I would like to know if there's more out there or if it's, like, different ones out there, you know. It doesn't just have to be this saucer jellyfish thing. It could be anything, you know. It could be a variety of things in space.
It could be those little gray men.
Yeah, it could be. Like, where'd it come from, and how long has it been here? And it's possibly not the only one, because there's never just one. Mm. Plus, Jordan Peele did say that he has more of the Nope story to tell.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he said there's more to tell, and that I think there was a character in the trailer that people noted was not in the movie, and he said that was for a reason.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he's going to expand on Nope. I think he's having a lot of fun with this. Hmm. The making of it was pretty cool.
Yeah, right. All the nighttime stuff was shot during the day.
Shot during the day. That's pretty cool.
I don't really understand what that does. I mean, it looked like night.
It helps Jordan Peele light, and he's not the lighting, but it helps him capture dark skin better.
Hmm.
It's harder to shoot, I would say, dark skin at night, trying to light it and make it look natural and not weird or just, like, off. And so he found the best way to do it was to shoot it during the day. And I think it does look really good.
Yeah.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
But watching it, I can see, like, if you look really close to the actor, there's just, like, a little bit of glow to him. But it's fine, it's cool, it looks really good. I think this film looks beautiful.
Is that what it is? I think it's a movie.
You know what,
I think this is Jordan Peele's maybe first movie. I forget what movie we said about us, but
you know, I was thinking film just because I was thinking, like, of the process of the making of it was so filmy.
But it's a blockbuster.
But it is a blockbuster, it's a spectacle, and it is a movie. Like, it is meant to.
And it's his first one. I think it's very unlike us and Get Out, which are more horror.
More horror.
And more social commentary. I mean, this has a message about, like, how we
can't tame, you know, the wild.
We can't tame the wild, and that's,
and maybe we're a detriment. Media,
and we're obsessed with destruction.
And tragedy.
Yeah, and trying to capitalize off of that, and, what goes into that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree with you.
It's not. Yeah, it's just spectacle, which is. That's what movies are. They're spectacles.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Nope is.
Yeah.
It also does work as a film.
Yeah.
So it's one of those perfect ones.
Yeah.
We call those movie films.
Movie films.
Well, if you like this, please give us 5 stars.
Yeah, and rate and review
positive
us.
Positive review. Subscribe. Email us. moviefilmpod@gmail.com. Find us on social media at moviefilmpod. And check out another spooky Spooktober episode of Movie.
Film.
How'd you know it was Star Wars right away?